Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5, and then skipping ahead, picking back up at 15 through 16. That's on your Pew Bible page number 446. Brothers and sisters, let us listen to God's word. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Our New Testament lesson comes from John's Gospel. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. A lot of 14s. And that's on Pew Bible page 873. Let us hear God's word, brothers and sisters. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not then believe me because of the works themselves, very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious, mighty, and loving God, we thank you. We thank you for your word which lights our path and guides our hearts. Lord, we know that you are with us in good times and in bad and in all places. And we ask your word to help us navigate our lives so that we might be your people in a hurting and broken world. In your name we pray. Amen. For me, there are moments when Jesus speaks and I'm left kind of looking for what is being talked about. He uses an image or an example, and it's just not something that us in our 21st century world understand. It's something that we in North America don't quite get. So I have to go and dig and dig and dig and try and figure out what the image that Jesus uses is, why it's important, and the various pieces and parts of it. I can't tell you the number of sheer hours I've had to spend trying to understand the relationship between a shepherd and the sheep. This kid from Grand Rapids, Michigan, in the inner city, just doesn't get standing out in the rain watching sheep. It just didn't track for me. But then there are moments when Jesus uses an image that everything lines up, where as he's talking, I'm like, oh yeah, I get it. I don't have to look up images and ideas of shepherds, because as Jesus is talking, there's this not trapped in the first century image that translates. For me, our scripture today is one of those moments. As I said to the kids, I grew up in a family of four kids. While we had a good-sized house, we also had 2 years apart between us and various sets of friends. And there just became this congestion, we'll say, in mom's house. There's just, if I had friends over, Rob had friends over, Jen had friends over, Edie was going to get frustrated because there just wasn't enough room. The fact is, there are images in Scripture that apply across cultures. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. Some of us might be very familiar with this phrase, this statement. Now, the particular word used is monai, which can be translated from the Greek as mansions, abodes, dwelling places, rooms, houses. It's got kind of one of those multi-layered versions. And so what it really drives at is that concept of a living space. But I'd like to think of it in terms of the difference between a house and a home. Okay? Bear with me. This is going to take a moment to get there. Now, a home is not just where you live. It's where you feel to be at rest. You can have a house and it cannot be feel like a home. A home has comfort to it. It has ties to it. It has something more than just four walls and a roof. It's more than that moment when you move in somewhere and you finally feel like you can put a hole in the wall to hang a picture. When you finally feel like you can slap that first coat of paint on the walls. A home is more than just shelter. It plays a role in our lives. Years ago, when I moved into college dorm life and frat house life for a hot minute, there was this semblance of, yeah, I live there. That's my room. But my home is on the second floor, northwest corner of 1631 Plymouth in Grand Rapids. That was my home. It was my mom's house, even when I was in college. When I moved into seminary housing and was living there, it wasn't my home. It was just my room. It was my apartment. My home was still mom's house. It took until later, after we loaded the last little bit of furniture out of mom's house, after mom's house no longer was mom's house, before my home shifted. And then it changed to 123 West 16th Street. And if you think I'm going to list off all of my past addresses, I'm not. It moved from Coxsackie, it moved to Pekin, and each time when you move into a parsonage, there's this element where it is a house, but becomes a home. And it takes time. Now, years ago, we don't do so anymore, with those homes we finally established in my family, the four of us would get together, usually around the holidays. And when this would happen, the first come, first serve got a guest room. And if you got a guest room, you were maybe that sibling's favorite, because otherwise you had to take a common area to stay and sleep. And it got just overcrowded between four kids, four spouses, sometimes pets, and then my nephew Caleb, until all of us had kids. It just became this mess of people, and it felt so crowded, right up until people started getting hotel rooms and staying there. Now consider this image that Jesus paints. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. There's not a limit on the rooms. There's not, well, you can have your room, but you're going to share it with and then the scroll rolls down and it keeps on going. No, in my Father's house, there are many rooms, much space. It's not going to feel congested. It's not going to feel like you're on top of each other. There's an unlimited amount of space. Now, from a basic theological point, this can be an issue. Consider some of the faiths where they have set the number of people in heaven at a number. Now, it was set some years, many years ago. And then finally, at some point, they hit that number. So what do they do from a functional standpoint? Well, they either have to theologically go back and say, well, we had the number wrong. So it should have been, and then they increase the number. The other part that they can do is, well, the number was right. We just got to start kicking people out. And so they start kicking people out of heaven. Now, this is a problem we thankfully don't have to deal with. Because as Christ says, there is an endless supply of rooms for us in our Lord's house. It's a functional problem. That's not ours. There's a wideness in God. There's not a shifting nature of theology that we have to adjust every few years to accommodate. There's always a vacancy sign in front of God's house. There's always room for more. Now, this isn't just a welcome home for us. It's a welcome home with plenty of space. Plenty of space where we are welcomed with a Lord who's preparing a place for us. You know, this isn't like a hotel where somebody throws the sheets and pillows at you and says, hey, enjoy, here's your room. Would we want to stay in a hotel that, Ed DeBevick's was a restaurant where your wait staff would insult you, and people somehow wanted to go there. And so there is this niche that I'm sure some of us could fill that want that person throwing the sheets and pillows at us and saying, here, go to your room. But in heaven, in the Lord's house, do you want that? Or do you want a place where God has taken the care to prepare a room for you? God has taken the time to make it ready for you. He's turned down everything. Everything is just so. You know, when you think of Jesus, what is the one thing you can really think of when, in terms of his care? Hospitality. When the disciples come, he washes their feet. They're dirty, walking everywhere, calloused, corned, blistered, whatever feet. He washes them. He welcomes them. He cares for them. How is his preparation going to be for us? There's a comforting part in knowing that it's not just the general housekeeping staff making the room ready, but Jesus, for each and every one of us, preparing a place for us. God just doesn't have a building with four walls for us. He doesn't just have this endless dwelling for us. It is a home, and a home in which we are welcomed individually. And that is beautiful. But there's a problem in this beauty. Usually when Jesus speaks, there's always that piece that's like gritty sandpaper. You know, it's that one fleck of paint you couldn't get right, and you just sit there and you either stare at it or you scratch at it and you make it bigger and worse. And that's who is in charge of God's house. Who is in charge of people entering in? It's not me. It's not you. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who lets people into the Father's house. And that always grinds our gears. That's always like the sound of a transmission that's just not fitting in right. That auditory issue we feel. Because whether or not we like to admit it, there are people who grind us the wrong way. There are people in our world who we don't get along with all the time. There are moments where we just really don't behave as we could and should. And the problem is, just because we want to keep people out, just because we don't like Bob or Joe, doesn't mean God won't let them in. It's not for us to worry about. Our worry is about us, about our faith, about bringing others to the faith. But the fact of the matter is, the path, the door, is through Christ, not through us. We can lead them to the door. We can bring them there. But it's up to Christ. It's the Lord's house. Makes me think of one of those congested moments in my mom's house. My little sister, Jenny, had gone up to mom and announced that she was going to have some friends sleep over. Rob and I grabbed the popcorn and were sitting there just waiting. Mom looked at her and said, "Really? Really? You're going to have friends sleep over in my house?" Jenny didn't take the hint. "Yeah, I was thinking..." Again, we're chewing on the popcorn. Needless to say, Jenny learned that it wasn't her house. It was God's house. And that's the beauty. Because the reality is that we are human, we are fallen, we are not always the best we can be with each other and with our world. But there's a beauty in the God, grace of God. There's a wideness in God's love and grace. And the reality is that God is wider than our grace. God's grace is wider than ours. And the reality is, that's good for us. Because just as there is probably someone that grates us, there's probably someone we have grated on as well. And isn't it great that we're not making the decisions of who's getting into God's house, and they're not either. But it's God who is. Brothers and sisters, all we can do is lead people to his house and find comfort that we have a place in it. Amen. Children of God, let us respond to God's word through our gifts.